Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me?
Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we discuss all issues having to do with separating into our own states and territories, building communities, and pooling our resources to build something for ourselves, our family, and our people. We have a wonderful show tonight. Farming is the engine of our national life. And our Time to Leave member, longtime member, Sister Andrea Muhammad, is going to be our host for tonight. And I'm going to let Sister Andrea introduce her guest. Sister Andrea, if you could push the one on your dial, and that way you can be at the top of my queue, press the one. I think I see your number here. Yes, ma'am. And open your mic. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Andrea.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, sir?
I'm well, by the grace of Allah. What about yourself?
I am doing wonderful. I am doing wonderful. Yes, sir. And excited about this evening's show.
Yes, ma'am. I think I see your guest on now, Sister Beatrice. If you could push the one on your dial. Okay, I think that's her. Go ahead, Sister Andrea.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. Alaykum. How are you doing, Sister Beatrice? Yes,
I am,
ma'am.
Well.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much for being our guest on Time to Leave this evening. Yes, ma'am. We've been taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that farming is the engine of our national life. And from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we've been instructed that it's separation or death. With those two powerful thoughts as a guide, I have some questions about your journey, and I want you to please share a little bit about yourself before I start asking questions, and just give us some information before I start asking my question.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Sister Beatrice X. With Mosque number 36 in Charlotte, North Carolina, mother of five grown children, and we started Amon Farm 4 years ago.
All praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much. And please share with us where you moved from and how you prepared for this, you and your family.
We were living in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're a little bit tired of the traffic situation there, too much traffic, and we were looking to relocate. We had decided then that we wanted to buy farmland, and so we decided to move closer to Charlotte, just based on the mosque and what we were looking for, and so we moved out to Charlotte.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Thank you. So what kind of lifestyle change was it, and what were some of the preparations that you had to go into to make this move?
Wow. It was a large, it was very big lifestyle change. All my children were grown. My youngest child was 21 at the time. And they were all living their own lives separately, and we decided to come together under one roof. We had realized I was struggling because I was doing studying for a couple of years, trying to figure out why I felt like I wasn't doing enough and what was missing, what was the missing puzzle. And I kept thinking about unity and collective working together, and I couldn't figure it out, but it dawned on me, and I had called all my children one after the other, and I had asked them what was the income, what were they paying in rent, what were they paying in utility bills, what were their car notes, what they spent on entertainment, and then what we found out was we were dishing out $8,000 in the, you know, separately, but collectively that's $8,000 we were giving to other people. And so we realized, wow, we could be living in a mansion with that kind of income going out. And that's when we started our journey and saying we have to do something different. And so we decided that we would come under one roof. We will pay off all our bills, fix our credit, we will save our money, and we will invest in ourselves. So it was a big change.
I'm sorry, sister, go on.
So it was a big change because you have people living their own lifestyle, doing their own thing, now deciding to come together under one roof. And so it was really difficult at first, but we set some ground rules and one common goal, and we decided to stick with it. And in 18 months, we were able to save our down payment and purchase the land.
Oh, wow. Oh, sister, that is absolutely beautiful. You know, coming together, having the goal of pooling your resources, pooling your income together, and looking at purchasing land as a goal. Oh, sister, that was absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Now, please share with us where your land is and how much land you have been able to purchase. That is wonderful.
We ended up about 45 minutes outside of Charlotte in a little farming community called Maiden. We had did a little research, and we did know that it was a larger Muslim community out there at one time. So they still were out there, just dispersed. And because it was farming, we thought that would be the best place to go because it was close to Charlotte. We wanted to be able to commute back and forth, and we also wanted to be able to target the Charlotte community. So we chose Maiden.
Ma'am, yes, ma'am. That is beautiful. And when we did talk, you were used the term that you were looking to create a farming community. Please talk about the process of doing this, how once you had decided to make that move and pool your resources, what was the process in coming together to start that farming community?
Well, because I was dealing with adults, I did not want to, I wanted them to be able to have their own dreams and realize their own dreams, but yet do it in a collective manner. So we had one child who wanted to be a baker, and so we thought, okay, with farming, we could give you some eggs. We could even have you a commercial kitchen in which you could bake at. We had another adult, who was into jewelry making, and on the land, we had lots of quartz and other stones in which they could use to make jewelry. So it was very important that, one, everybody was able to benefit and grow and follow their dreams based on the resources on the farm, and also to be a part of. And so prior to getting the farm, three of us was already truck drivers. So we had already built a trucking company. And so after reading and studying, I think Brother Dr. Corday Anderson, I read his books. And Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, I read a couple of his books. And then studying everything the minister was saying, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I wanted to be able to uplift our community, but I couldn't do it unless I first uplifted my family. So we wanted to support them in whatever their dreams was. And so that was the major goal, that we were going to have industries, businesses. And so the farm was just a means and a tool to get to build businesses and industries in which we could grow.
Oh, sister, that's beautiful. Yes, ma'am. And so with the base of starting that when you all were moving, what does that look like today? How does it function? How, in bringing it up to present, what have you been able to do with putting all of those things in place? And let me just say, when you said that one of your children wanted to be a baker, I love the fact that you said you could have the commercial kitchen. So please share with us what you all have been able to accomplish.
So right now, the main house is about 3,500 square feet. And then we also have three additional buildings, 25 feet by 25 feet or smaller. And that's based on the farming community rules in this area, where anything bigger than that would be considered a house. So we have fitted out sheds, insulated housing, whatever we needed to make other areas, indoor areas on the farm. So we have a commercial kitchen that's within a shed, and we have a library, which allows us to read and get resources, cookbooks, and whatever we need, how to farm, how to improve the soil, whatever we need, we have resources. So we have a resource center on the farm. And in addition to that, we have two places where other people could come to either give us a hand, give us information, teach us, or where we can teach others on the in those buildings. And so that's the basis of the community farm, to be able to outreach to the community and also allow the community to outreach to us. And so we give classes to young adults, entrepreneurship, anything they would like to do in farming that we're doing, or they would like to add to farming. If we could aid, then that's what we do.
All praises are due to Allah, and I think you really hit on one of the other questions that I had, you know, was what and how did you learn some of the needed skills? And you talked about the libraries and having access to other people that might come in and teach skills as well as you teaching them to others.
When I was in Atlanta, Georgia, we had visit Muhammad's farm under Dr. Ridgely several times, and I really got interested in farming then. And since I've moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, a brother by the name of Mr. Lee Muhammad, who's done agriculture for over 60 years, was a big mentor. And he came down to the farm and he taught us all that he could possibly teach. And that was our biggest inspiration, our biggest help, and our biggest resource. We also had other people at the mosque that came in and helped us and taught us. Our MGT classes, which taught us canning, allows us now to make our own jams and jellies. There was a couple, and a husband and wife in the mosque, who wanted to sell their ice cream company, and they chose my 12-year-old grandson. So he now has his own ice cream company, and he's able to make ice cream on the farm. So we have had a lot of resources, a lot of help, a lot of people in the community that wanted to come out and see us successful, and they have all pitched in, and we have been able to grow quite well.
Well, Sister Beatrice, that is absolutely beautiful to have the youth involved in being a part and having their own business. Oh, Sister, that is, I just love that. I love that. Wow. Yes, ma'am. That is amazing. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what it's all about. Will you share some of the experiences? I know you talked about having the living areas where others can come if they want to help. What has some of that experience been like with people? Because you mentioned that you have had believers and others who came to live for periods of time. What are some of the issues and how has that been?
It's been very interesting, and it's been a learning curve. Sometimes we think we know what we want to do. We think we want to do farming, and because we don't know all that's entailed in farming, we get a little confused. And so I've had some good helpers, and I've had some not-so-good helpers. And so you have to find a way to wean out what people are thinking when they think they want to come and help on a farm, because it's not a vacation, and it's a lot of hard work. When you're on a farm, you have to be able to get up before sunup, 11 o'clock in the afternoon farming. And so we have to really, really understand the hard work that comes into farming, and it's not easy. It's harder than I thought it would be, but because this is what we want to do, we're able to overcome those issues. But as far as other folks, they may not understand or know or willing to, once they get on the land, to do the work. So it's really important to get that understanding, have an understanding on your expectations, on what they're coming to do, and how they want to help.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Praises are due to Allah. You know, I think because so many of us come from the cities, you know, we just have no idea. We really don't. We have no idea of what it means to live on a farm. And so I do understand. I can definitely relate to someone coming thinking that that's what they want to do, but finding out it's a whole different reality. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So you talked about your family, bringing your family who are adult children and their families together. What are some of the struggles and challenges of that compared to, you know, having some of the brothers and sisters community, the community coming? Is there any type of comparison that you have seen, or what has that been like?
It's definitely different, but not totally. There's an emotional aspect of it because it's your children, but you have to go through the same things. They might have different ideas of the work entailed on pulling this off. And so it has to have a lot of communication to get everybody on the same page. You might have, when we first started out, and they looked at 10 acres of land and they asked, well, who's going to cut it? Well, of course, you got to cut it. You live here, right? And they're like, no, a farm is supposed to have somebody already there cutting the grass and doing the work. So it took some time to get everybody on the same page. Also, when you have people that are not of your family that wants to come in and help, they too might have different ideas on what to do and what it entails. And they're looking for a vacation or air condition. And those things don't exist on a farm. And so you could compare it to one sense, but the other sense is you have to know how to deal with people. And you have to be able to understand where they're coming from and what they understand. And so I would say that would be the most important thing is communication, and to be able to communicate what is really needed versus what somebody else is willing to give.
Yes,
I hope,
ma'am.
I answered
yes,
that question.
You did. Yes, ma'am. You surely did. And you also mentioned that the area of the house that you have is large. And even with that, having adult children and their families, I know many times, usually we grow up in our own individual houses. And coming together with different lives, different thoughts, and so on, what has that collective living condition been like? Most of us don't live in a collective type situation, which would really be ideal, but it's not something that we are accustomed to. Will you please share a little bit about that?
Really, really have to have a heart and the love of even your children and the will to actually accomplish the goal. When you have adult children and they not following the teachings, or they decided to accept Christianity and they decided that they want to eat pork, or smoking is okay, or a little beer in the refrigerator is okay, we actually had to come up with the bylaws prior to, so that we didn't have those conflicts on whether the children was going to be able to reach into the refrigerator, move over a can of beer to get to the milk. So we put that in place before we moved on. We got to that very early. And a lot of those issues must be dealt with. They must be on the table. They must be talked about prior to bringing people together. And so it was hard. It was very hard. But I kept them focused on the goal. Can we come together to lift ourselves up, to meet our goals a little bit earlier than 70 years? And can we work together and hold it together? And so we focused on that, and tolerance and kindness and keeping the youth in the front. So we say, all of us do have our own individual lives, our own individual thoughts, but can we be considerate enough to allow the youth to have a life of love? And that's where we focused on. We focused on doing better and providing the best for each other. And so if there was anything that would cause more detrimental than good, we left it alone. So though beer might be legal, we don't want it in the home because it's more detrimental than it is good. It could cause more damage to those living, the young ones that might want to experiment or experience it. So we made our decisions based on what would be best for the whole group versus what would be best for an individual.
Race is a due to Allah, and that was the groundwork. So anybody that comes there, you already have those rules and bylaws, so anybody would know this is what is and is not acceptable. That's beautiful, sis. That is beautiful. How and what do you grow on your land?
Well, we broke up the land into lots, different sections, and we grow produce. We have our regular produce, and then we also have what we consider cash crops, and we have crops that we use just for added value products. And we grow cucumbers and potatoes and peppers, garlic and onions, but then we also have our cash crops, which is moringa, which we're able to dry out. It's a plant, a very dense nutrient plant, in which we're able to dry and make capsules. But we also make drinks. We also make moringa lemonade, in which we're able to sell. We grow hibiscus, in which we make a drink called sorrel, which is another, we call it our added value crop. We have garlic, but we turn it into black garlic, which is another added value crop. So we have different types of crops in which we could use for personal use. We could use to put in our CSA baskets. A CSA basket is a community-supported agriculture, and it's a program in which people pay forward into the produce that they will get for that season. So we sell boxes of fruit. We come together with other farmers. So we have farmers that bring in the fruit that we don't have. We buy products from Muhammad Staple Good Program, in which we buy the honey and the cream of wheat, flour, sugar, lentil beans, brown rice, and we add that to a CSA box in which we grow the cucumbers, the peppers, and the tomatoes, and we have other farmers that bring the apples, and we have a young man that has his own water company. He has alkaline water coming right out of the ground in which he bottles and sells, and we also have that, and we put that in one box, and we sell it so they don't have to go to Walmart. They don't have to go to Target. We'll sell you as much as we can in a complete box, and then you will pay for that, and you have groceries for the whole week. And so we minimize what you have to spend out there, and you could buy from your own.
Well, sis, that sounds like heaven to me. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. You mentioned that you raise animals too.
Yes, we do. We raise chickens for eggs, chickens for meat, turkeys, and we also raise lamb. And so we're able to also put meat or to offer meat in our CSA boxes. At the end of the day, you really have a complete meal. Everything that you possibly want could come from at least 90%. You might have to go out and get your own milk and your own butter and stuff like that. But we try to produce a complete box, which will eliminate you having to go to the grocery store.
I love it. Yes. Yes. It just sounds like the perfect thing, what we should be doing. These are the things that we're being taught, and it is exactly what we need to be doing. Brother Carlton?
Yes, ma'am.
Will you open it up for any questions that anyone may have?
Yes, ma'am. Dear listeners, if you are enjoying this program, please press the 1 on your keypad, and we will gladly bring you into this conversation. If you have a question or a comment, please press the 1 on your keypad.
Thank you. Sister, you were talking about the different types of businesses you have. So you definitely have to have business plans, operation times. How, with you having the amount of family members, how do you plan on what you're doing when?
We keep to a tight schedule. The objective is to get everybody in the family that wants to work on the farm on the farm. So right now we are divided. Some of us work as truck drivers, and the other half of us work on the farm. And so what we would like to do is get to the point where the trucks that we have is taking our produce and taking it to the grocery store or to restaurants or to individual homes. So we do deliver, and we try to deliver in communities in which we are able to deliver 50 boxes at a time of groceries to individual neighborhoods. We also deliver to restaurants. We have 17 different varieties of hot peppers in which we're able to provide for restaurants on their demand. We have 10 different varieties of tomatoes, which restaurants also buy. We have produce that we target towards the African community in Charlotte. The hibiscus, the moringa, the bitter tomatoes is geared towards that. So we stick to a schedule, and we have several different schedules. We have seasonal schedules. We have daily schedules. We have weekly schedules. And so we're getting to the point where we're going to have to be able to hire other people just so we could keep moving.
Sister Andrea, we have 3 people in the queue. Would you like me to bring them in?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
We have a caller online, calling online. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Elisheba, and I'm calling from Ohio, Columbus. Can you hear me?
Sister Andrea, can
Hello?
You hear her?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, please. Yes.
Yes, I would like to commend the host of this show for all her work and all of her hard effort and vision that she has to help not only our Black community, but anybody that needs to have some good food on their table to eat, because it's been 1 year now that I haven't ate in a grocery store at all. because God told me 1 year ago not to eat no more food in the grocery store because the food in the grocery store is making everybody sick. And it is making people have a lot of demonic spirits in them. So I haven't ate anything in a grocery store for 1 year, and I am a farmer. I am a farmer. I do have livestock on my land, and I have turkeys, chickens, goats, and stuff like that. And I do have my own well. So, yes, I agree with everything that you said, that we need to have our own food and we need to, you know, be productive and we need to come together as a people so we can broaden the vision and broaden the understanding that we need as a people so we can be healthy and we can live longer and we can do what God wants us to do. Because in the Bible, it's all about having your own food. It's all about having your own resources. It's all about not going to no one else outside of your own nationality and nation to provide for you and your family. So I'm very happy that you are doing that. And I've been farming now for 4 years. I started from scratch. Sister, you hear me? I started from scratch. I didn't know nothing about farming at all. I didn't know nothing about goats. I know nothing about raising chickens. I knew anything about raising turkeys or nothing. But now I can say that my farm is very good now, where I have people actually coming to my farm now to purchase items from me. So, yeah, I started from scratch, but now I learned a lot. So, yeah, I had the vision, and God told me to do it, and I just went forward with it. So thank you, sister. That's all I want to say. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, we're going to go to our next caller. Caller with the last four digits, 5597. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Kim Muhammad. I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Andrea. I'm very excited about your guest and all of the accomplishments that the family together made. And I was like, that is awesome, because I would like to do something like that, but I just can't. I would have to bribe my children because they don't want to give up the city life and their jobs is here. And, you know, so that's really great how you were influential in your children's life like that. Oh, my God. My question is, how is the community purchasing the products and the baskets or the boxes of weekly supplies, and how good is the support that you're getting from your community in which you live? And I'm so excited. I want to congratulate you too, sister, for everything, just the thought and being an example for us, you know, to be able to follow.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. The support has been great. We have had support from several different communities. When we first started, we didn't have the equipment. I didn't even think far enough about equipment. And so the community has came out because it's a farm equipment, a farming community. They came out with their tractors. They were able to come and level the land for us. Some of them did it for no fee. Some of them charged us a fee, but it was just beautiful to see that they knew that there was a sister in the community that needed help, and no questions was asked. They just came knocking at the door. They just heard about it, and they just came. So it was very beautiful to see people just coming out and aiding you. And the farm community is different from another community because they understand poverty and the need for food, and so they think different. They will come and aid you and help you and support you. So it
wow.
has been a really good, good blessing. The mosque has came forward and helped me. I had a brother that heard about me and what I was attempting to do, and so when he heard about it and he found out it was just me and my daughter and my grandson who started it, he came all the way from New Jersey, and he
wow.
built all the fences on the property free of charge. Mm. So he made the travel free. He did the work free. I just had to get the supplies. And it was at a time that I needed the help because I didn't have the resource. But now we have continued in business. He's able to get his food here. He's able to get whatever he needs and wants because one hand washes the other.
That's absolutely.
And we have had other members at the mosque come out and weed and pick and help in whichever manner they could. And we have people from the masjid that comes in and buy products. It's a you pick me farm. You could come on the property. You could pick up your own fruit. You could order. Yes. We have a website. So it has been a very a beautiful experience to know that when Allah sends you out there to do a job, he's going to supply all your needs. And it's
Praise
been a beautiful experience.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Mr. Kim.
And we have one more caller. I'm going to open their mic up. Caller with the last four digits, 2314. What's your name and where are you calling from? You are live on our show. Do you have, you may have your phone on mute. Caller number with the last four digits, 2314. Are you there? Gone once, gone twice. Okay, we're going to close you.
Uh-oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I am so sorry. You ought to know who I am. I am Sister Fajr from Omaha, Nebraska, and I'm challenged when it comes to technology. I'm sorry. I have got to say, Sister Andrea and Sister Beatrice, this was beautiful. And I have got to say, I have just got to say that I cannot wait to be a helper for Sister Beatrice and her family on her farm.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are awaiting your arrival. And if I didn't mention, there's a sister all the way from Omaha, Nebraska that is coming to North Carolina to help us on the farm. And we are awaiting your arrival.
Yes, ma'am. So I was listening and I heard Sister Andrea say with excitement, it sounds like heaven. And it just went through me. I said, I know about the hard work. Sister Beatrice knows I know about hard work. But at the same time, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has stated, a lot of people are in the hereafter and don't even know it. And Sister Beatrice, with her stepping up her game for her family and for the community, she's making a way for all of us. And that's why Allah sends helpers from out of the woodwork she cannot even see coming because she stepped out there with that. And she's in the kingdom right now. And it's going to be paradise to me. I know I'm going to be working hard, but it's going to be paradise to me also. So that's what I wanted to say.
Walaikum salam, and thank you, Sister Fajr. And Sister Fajr is the sister who actually connected Sister Beatrice and I together so that we could have her on the time to leave. Thank you so much, Sister Fajr, for your call.
And she's the final caller, Sister Andrea.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So wait. I'll take that back. I just saw a light up. Let me open up your line. I think that's Sister Ann. Sister Ann?
As-salamu alaykum. No, this is Brother Richard.
Well,
my phone died you know, turns, you know, and so I picked up Sister Ann's phone. I just wanted to say that this is a great show. Thank you, Sister Andrea, for finding Sister Beatrice, and thank you, Sister Beatrice, for being on our show and for showing us how it can be done. You know, the minister calls the time and what must be done, and you are showing us how it can be done. So thank you so much, and I love the way you deal with everything in terms of mathematics and logic. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you so much for being on our program, and may Allah continue to bless you, and people should learn from you how to do it. Thank you so much.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Ridgely. All right. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Can I say something?
Of course. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I want to thank Dr. Ridgely. One of his books, I think it's Commonomics, he talks about the five pillars of the economic blueprint and how he wrote it out. It never could leave my mind. And he defined it, the five pillars, and unity, collectivity, to be able to collect together and work together. It didn't leave my mind. And I kept trying to figure out, how do I do this? You know, and I wanted to go to the mosque and say, well, can we all live in the same community? Can we, like, start something like where we all buy the houses in the same community? You know, it's like, no, that's not. It bothered me to the point of start at home. That's where you start, at home. And so we have to find that unity amongst our household, amongst our children, amongst our brothers and sisters. And then from there, we could branch out.
Yes, ma'am, that is beautiful. And you have definitely, like Dr. Ridgely said, given us an example of what can be done. And we just need to get moving, because you've shown us that it can be done. Dr. Ridgely, Dr. Ann, Brother Carlton, and Sister Majida down in Brunswick are showing us that it can be done. So I thank you for all that you are doing, definitely. Let's see. Sister, I mean, it's just so beautiful when you were talking about putting the baskets together and taking them into the community. And you did say you are truckers, but you have your own trucking company. Did I understand that?
That is correct. That is correct. We started out as truck drivers, and three of my children drive trucks now. I work full-time on the farm. I have a daughter that works full-time on a farm. My sister just flew in from Gambia, Africa, and she has been doing farming over there. We're starting a fruit company in Gambia where they will be drying fruit there, bagging them up, and shipping them back here. So we are already expanding on another continent.
It's good.
Growing. It's growing. We get our black soap products, black soap from Africa. We get shea butter from Africa, which allows us to make other products here. And so we're just utilizing all the resources that we could possibly use.
Man, oh, that's beautiful. That is amazing. Sister Beatrice, if someone wants to get in contact with you, how can they do that? And you did mention a website. Would you share that information with us?
Yes. www.amancommunityfarms, AMMAN Community Farms without the S, .com. AmmanCommunityFarms.com.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So in contacting you through that, are any of your products, the non-perishable products, are they available through this website?
They're all on the website. Everything is on the website, from our black soap to the produce to the water. It's all on the website.
All praises are due to Allah. All praises are due to Allah. That is beautiful. Okay, sister, I'm so thankful that I asked that question, because I'm sure you will be getting some people who are definitely interested, and I will be going to that website myself. Let's see. Do you have apprenticeships? You talked about having classes. Do you have apprenticeships?
We do have classes. I have also partnered with another young man. He's, I believe, one of the few black-owned water companies in America. And he's about an hour and a half away from me. And he also has a farming community. And what we do is we bring knowledge to the community. So we hold classes, whether it's making jam, how to eat to live classes, how to make laundry detergent classes, how to cook. We was getting a lot of questions on just how to cook some of the food we were producing. And I didn't realize that our community did not know how to cook eggplant. They did not know how to cook certain foods. And so we had to start doing recipes to add in our CSA boxes, just so people could have an idea how to utilize some of the produce that we were growing. And so if people have skills that they would like to, and they need a forum in which they want to teach or give a class, we allow that on the property. If the product is something conducive to what we're trying, going in the same direction on where we're going, we will allow them that forum where they could use one of the buildings to hold the class, to teach a class. So we do a lot of community collaborations to make sure the community is involved, and they have, if we're able to meet a need, we open the door.
Certified organic.
I'm losing you. I'm sorry. I think you asked me about being certified.
I think that might have been Sister Ann. It sounded like Sister Ann's voice. I'm not sure if she was asking the question. Brother Carlton, was that Sister Ann asking a question?
Their phone, what mic was open. I don't think she was asking a question. We just heard their conversation.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes. That's beautiful, sis. That is beautiful.
They opened up the mic. I think they. Sister Ann, did you have a question?
Yes.
Dr. Ridgely?
Yes, this is Sister Ann.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I was wondering if Sister Beatrice has gotten the certified organic label, or are you just operating as a farm without it?
I'm operating as a farm without it because I didn't make sense of paying for that. And so we just grow organically, and people are able to come in and see, even test the soil if they like, to know
right.
that we grow organically.
Okay, okay. Well, I was wondering why so many people were gravitating to you, but evidently they're ready.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But no, we don't do organic. We don't do the we haven't got certified. Once they told us the price ticket on that certification, we had to stop that.
Yes, yes. Yes, and all you have to do. So you're doing great without it.
Thank you.
I think the more people do without it, the less they'll try to push it on you.
Yes. We had a head start because they had cows here for 7 years, and they didn't grow. And so when they test the soil was beautiful, and we didn't have to do much.
Oh, praise be to Allah.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Well, that was my question.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Ann. Listening to you is so much is about mindset. The mindset to be ready to move out and to do something for ourselves, and the mindset to have a collective type of living situation. The mindset to just be ready to do the work, because you have definitely shared with us, it's going to take a lot of work to do the things that are needed. And I thank you so much for all that you've shared. And I know we have just a few more minutes. Is there anything else that you would like to share about what you are doing? I just appreciate everything that you have passed on to us, Sister Beatrice.
Yes. I would like to say that we do have Sister Ann's cream of wheat in our CSA boxes, in addition to the navy beans and the lentils and all the beautiful things that they put together. And we appreciate you, because that's what's being requested. And they love the products from Muhammad Farm.
Oh, praises to do to Allah. That is beautiful. Yes, I love that muffin mix too.
Yes, ma'am.
It is beautiful. Well, I definitely will be going to your website. It sounds wonderful. This is what it's all about, us having our own, producing our own, and supporting our own. So I truly, truly appreciate everything. And, Sister, just in case someone didn't get it, will you share your website one more time?
Amman Community Farm. Amman, AMMAN, Community Farm without the S, .com. And I would like to say Amman is my 14-year-old grandson, and the farm has been named after him. And his job is to run the farm, and his graduation at 18 is to be able to duplicate it on another piece of land.
Woo! All praises are due to Allah. That is a wonderful way to end this program. That is beautiful, sis. Thank you for sharing so much with us.
Way, then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more country. Fast eyes burst into rhythm, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the road my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came, my family tree, my family name. For some strange reason, it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be